Oh, yes. Hello, hello, good day, wherever you may be and whatever time it is. Hello and welcome. Man, 31 days left in 2024. And a lot has happened. A lot has happened in real life. And a lot has happened at wrestling. And lucky for you, we're here to talk about it. All right? Survivor Series, one of our favorite PLEs, even if they don't do it right every time, has just ended and concluded. And there is a good amount to talk about in the aftermath if we go in the end of the year into 2025. So let's talk about it like nobody else in the world. It's time for the first Black Camp podcast. And I'm still the pick, podcast and the Continental Champion, Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast, wherever you get your best podcast. Awesome podcast, all of that. DFBC POD on everything. Make sure you follow me, make sure you follow Camp. And great show planned for you today as Camp does the Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey.
Hey, rest in peace, the legend.
And it's funny because I was watching the Survivor Series, I think it was I think it was 1997 yesterday. And the Heavenly Bodies came out and I was like, yo, my nigga, Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey. Hey man. One of the more underrated niggas, in wrestling. Like, look, shouts out to everybody who check out the pod, but there's one thing you gonna learn, even with last week's episode, where we was just talking about people who we didn't necessarily see as in their prime.
Yes.
Yeah. But then we wish we would have got to see them.
For sure.
And I ask you another question to kick off today's show. Like, who are, or what were some of the most underrated, like, moves or, like, just tidbits, or even, like, wrestlers that was never going to get the championship, was never going to get the brass ring, or like maybe it was an underrated moment when you look back that is like, okay, this meant more to me than what people might have think. I'll give you a perfect example for me.
Okay.
One of the things, like one of the more underrated moments for me when it comes to wrestling, that I don't think people really talk about enough, and maybe it wasn't meant to be talked about, was the tag team division in the early 90s, specifically how the fuck like Doug Furness and Philip LaFond was like head and shoulders above like some of the tag teams.
It just showed
you that they was like rebuilding, and you had the Headbangers and all of that, and it really takes me to the Headbangers. Like, once they got in full motion and shit, the breakup of the Headbangers was hilarious to me. And how one of them niggas basically went on to be the Beaver, and he had the big titty white woman is like his I guess his stepmother porn thing. So like WWE was very much ahead of the stepmother type of choice that you see today.
I wanna say that Beaver Cleaver concept birth Brazzers, or Vince saw Brazzers before we saw Brazzers.
Something.
because I like obviously I'm not a fan of a lot of tag teams breaking up, but one that never really had to break up was the Headbangers. Like they was never them. I don't know who the hot tag guy was. I don't know. Like they were like that was the most one of the most even tag teams outside of the Rock and Roll Express to me. Like, even though, you know, obviously Ricky Morton's blonde and he talks better. So it does put him slightly above, Robert Gibson. But man, the Headbangers was one of like the most even tag teams ever. It's like you create them. It's like you and your twin brother. It's literally like what the Usos would be with just out, you know, ethnicity and push.
Yeah,
until they finally broke up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like no reason for the Headbangers to break up. But then when they did, and you had the Beaver Cleaver thing, and it's like, yo, why you got this? That ain't this supposed to be like stepmom or some shit? Like, yo, wow, this is this is when you go back into some small pockets of the Attitude Era, you really realize how much of a freak man Vince McMahon was.
Oh, for sure.
And that was one of the moments where when you look back, you're like, that was just a small, just a little small little blip.
Yeah.
To where you was like, Vince, what was you thinking? But then when you go on Pornhub, you see what he was thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there. It's right there in your face, literally, in some of the clips.
That is all. It's all there. It's like, wow. What are some of those moments for you?
Man, you know what? It's wild that you asked this question. And now as I think back, I just seen this clip resurface on Facebook because I didn't even remember this. But underrated, especially at the time, because this was like 96, 97. And even though they not them, the legacy of them is through the roof at this point. And that's the New Age Outlaws going over on the Legion of Doom to win the world WWF Tag Team titles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally didn't, like, obviously we there, we watching it. And it was big because, like, even the crowd is like, whoa, oh, wait a minute. The Legion of Doom lost to Roden and Billy Gunn.
Rockabilly?
Right. And Rockabilly at that time. Dude, the Roadie and Rockabilly just beat the Legion of Doom on Monday Night Raw. Like, that is, in hindsight, you're like, yo, that's when OGs be like, okay, wrestling's in the shitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
OGs is like, wrestling's in the shitter if that's what's happening. Like, that is unbelievable. Fast forward, if all you know is the Attitude Era, the New Age Outlaws make perfect sense. But if you were just there, even just 5 coherent years before that, you're like, yo, what's up?
Yeah. And it's funny that we talk about tag teams and about, like, tag teams that didn't need to break up and then tag teams that probably should break up. Like, I equate tag teams to, like, rap groups. There's some people in rap groups that just need to go solo and we'll see what happens. But then there's some groups that just don't need to break up. Like, Outkast to me is a group that should never break up.
And I'm right there with you.
Like, they are so together where it's like, yo, why y'all doing solo projects? Y'all should just do music together. Yep. But then there's groups like The Lox or Mobb Deep. Not saying that Jadakiss or Prodigy was far in the head away from everybody, because I think arguably Styles P has the better discography from anybody solo on The Lox, right?
Yeah.
But you needed to see Jadakiss go solo.
For sure.
And you also needed probably Styles to go solo. You needed Prodigy to go solo. Who is a tag team that's, in your opinion, should have never broke up? And what tag team you just didn't mind breaking up?
Man, okay. So, I'm trying to think here. And immediately, Kendrick and London.
They should never have broken.
They should have never broken up. Because they were literally the better version of the Rockers. Like they were like, if the Rockers was cold, it was them. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what? Hindsight being 2020 and not really knowing where wrestling was gonna go for either one of these guys. Hey, at the time I thought the biggest mistake on earth was the Hollywood Blondes breaking up.
Woo! Hey.
We talking like, yeah, we see the next 3 years after that, but you couldn't tell. I'm like, yo, no, this is it. This is it. Pillman and Austin? Yo, no, this is the one. I wasn't so sure that this was going to work for either of them. Because the way that started off, like, hot, like, almost instantly. So, yeah, Hollywood Blondes was the one I was like, I don't know. I mean, hey, in a matter of speaking, only because of Austin's success, though, they proved me wrong. But, you know. And I'll give one more that shouldn't break up. And again, hindsight is 2020, man. I was not sold on the Heart Foundation breaking up.
Oh yeah.
Brett and Anvil. I'm like, did we do this?
Yeah, let me say, and again, we're asking at the time.
Yeah.
Hindsight, of course, is 2020, and Stone Cold Steve Austin becomes him. Mm-hmm. But when the Hollywood Blondes broke up, I am with you. I was like, y'all sure? Are y'all positive
yeah.
about this? Because I am a Hollywood Blondes stan. Like, I was in school doing this shit. I loved the Hollywood Blondes. So yeah. when they broke that tag team up, I'm with you. I was like, yo, y'all sure about this, y'all? What we doing here? Like, this
yeah,
is,
man.
This is about as perfect you're going to get as a tag team.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on the Hart Foundation, too. I did not see as a shorty Bret Hart being a star. I just didn't see it at all. And then plus, Jimmy Anvil Neidhart, he always did the talking and stuff. For me, Demolition, not only, they should have just retired Demolition and nobody ended up in no other character.
Bruh,
like,
man.
Once Demolition was done, Barry Dawson should have just went to WCW. Yeah. There was no reason for the Repo Man. Demolition, to me, is one of the more underrated tag teams, because as you grow up, you realize, yeah, they were a Road Warriors ripoff. It's like Road Warriors plus BDSM. Like, okay, Vince, you nasty.
Bah.
But
yeah, hey, Vince is on it.
But when you break up the Demolition and then you make Barry Darsaw Repo Man,
yeah,
it's like, oh, come on, Vince. Like, you broke them up just to do this shit. Like, nah, you tripping, Vince. Like, no, you tripping. Demolition, as soon as you said this is over with, they should have been Future Endeavor. They should have never went in a way where you saw somebody else. A tag team where they should not have broke up, Demolition. One that should have, though. And if done correctly, I think somebody would have been a bigger star. And it's one of your favorite tag teams that you've talked about on this podcast on many occasions.
I think we're on the same page. Go ahead.
The Young Stallions. Somebody should have broke up. Somebody should have went heel over another nigga. Like,
yeah, man.
Jim Powers or Paul Roma should have just been like, fuck it, and beat the shit out of their tag team partner, and their career would have been better. Like, they broke up to become jobbers, and they didn't even really break up. Like, I don't think, unless one of the old heads want to DM us and send us like a video of them saying, fuck this shit, we out.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they kept wearing their red tights, but one became a jobber, the other became a jobber, and Jim Powers became the better jobber.
Yeah.
With bigger moments. Like, if you look at jobber moments between the two, Jim Powers getting hit by Lex Luger with the forearm, looking at his mirror, that's the better jobber moment for Paul Roma and Jim Powers. But if Paul Roma would have just beat the shit out of Jim Powers, I think he would have had a better WWF career if that would have happened. But they just split and ended up jobbers, and then Paul Roma ended up in the tag team with Hercules, Power and Glory, which, no matter what y'all think, it is one of my favorite tag teams of all time, one of my favorite tag team moves of all time, and they just splintered them joints off too. And then one went to WCW as a tag team partner for Paul Orndorff, and the other became Super Invader. So it's like, those are my examples of tag teams that should not have broken up and should have broken up. But if you did it, you should have did it in a way kind of similar, like how the Rockers broke up.
Now, yeah, for sure.
Go ahead.
I just want to say real quick, because Paul Roma, I got this one real quick question. If what you're saying, like Roma turns on Powers, I think that sets the trajectory up for Paul Roma even better as a heel, and Power and Glory look different. Because I don't know if you saw it, but for me, I just turned on wrestling one day and Paul Roma was a heel.
Yeah.
It didn't, I was like, there was no story. It was just like, hey, we're just going to build you over here. And I'm like, wait, what? Like it was almost like when Dangerous Danny Davis became a referee. I was like, wait, man, hold on, wait. That's the ref. And I think if they would have built that better, something greater would have happened for him just longevity-wise.
Yeah. There are wrestlers that, again, as youngsters, we just like, yo, we really rock with that dude. Mm-hmm. But then there's tag teams, again, that's like why they break them up, why they split them up.
Yeah.
For I knew Shawn Michaels was going to be a big star when they did what they did, how they did it.
Really?
You couldn't tell me. Mm. You couldn't tell me the way that it happened.
Okay.
That Shawn Michaels was not going to be a big star. Did I think Shawn Michaels was going to be top five dead or alive? No.
Okay.
But you couldn't tell me that that wasn't going to happen, especially when I remember watching the Slammies and he got out the limo with Ric Flair. I was like, oh, yeah, they putting the battery in the back of Buddy ass.
Mm.
Pause. But you couldn't tell me that Shawn Michaels was not going to be a major star. You knew damn well that the Repo Man was going to be no further than what he was. You're not going to tell me that you thought that Jim Neidhart was a potential intercontinental champion once they broke up.
Right.
Those are the people who was like, man, when you, unless somebody you know was going to be a major star, they don't need to break up. And that's why even with the Bret Hart thing, I didn't necessarily see Bret Hart superstar. And that's why I was like, oh man, I don't think they should really break up because what's going to happen to Bret Hart? We was wrong on Bret Hart. We was wrong on Stone Cold Steve Austin or stunning Steve Austin because he even became a big star in WCW.
Yeah.
And big moments in WCW after the Hollywood Blondes. But at that moment, you could not tell me that the Hollywood Blondes was not the tag team of the 90s.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Yeah. It's and I still think it's a missed opportunity. Sorry. Rest in peace, Brian Pillman. Sorry.
Hey, y'all should have just did that shit a little bit longer.
Yeah. Sorry. That's how I feel.
A little bit longer.
I forever feel that way.
And you know what I loved about that tag team division in general? Like everybody in WCW, everybody was just like put together.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody was just put together and they were just fighting each other. Like Shane Douglas and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yep.
Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham. Then Barry Windham was like, fuck you, little nigga.
Bruh, literally, I'm sorry. Underrated favorite tag teams. Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, like
I was literally going there.
Like all of the, that hodgepodge of we just go put tag teams together in WCW and everybody was just fighting and breaking up was great. Another thing that I was watching, and oh, don't ask me why I was watching some of this shit that I was watching yesterday. I can't remember the pay-per-view that I was watching. I want to say it was a Fall Brawl. But here's another question, like wrestlers who had the look but didn't end up doing shit in life doing wrestling. Fam, Todd Champion had the body of an Adonis. He had the look and everything. But once you saw him in the ring, you was like, oh, man, get this thing wanna be ass up out of here. Like your whole trajectory changed as soon as you saw him in the ring. Like, Todd Champion is walking now. I was like, yo, this dude, why not? Why not Todd? Even the name, Todd Champion, is just like, yo, you got something here. And then you see him get in the ring, you like, oh. That's why this shit didn't work. Was there any wrestler that, in your opinion, when you watched him, had the look, had the name, had the size, pause, but then when you saw them get in the ring, it was like,
ugh. See, man, I like most of them in the ring, but maybe I need to go back. But I think I've brought this up before. going back to WCW, we do a lot of WCW reflecting here too, by
the way.
Yeah,
we do. I told you, I was a WCW stan.
Yeah, it's in the fire. I'm going to go watch the matches because maybe I was tripping in hindsight, but speaking of Todd Champion, Van Hammer. Like, I keep saying, because, like, yo, Van Hammer, especially for the 90s, the early 90s, he was low-key on some, like, updated Magnum TA type shit as far as his look. And maybe it was the gimmick. Again, I'm not about to say that I know a five-star match he had or whatever, what have you.
Ain't one.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But to fast forward, even though he's back, you know what I'm saying? I got to go with my guy, Sexy Jesus, Chris Masters.
Ah.
Chris Masters. And, hey. Yo.
Hey.
Ross.
Ross.
Thank you. Nigga. I was literally
you could not tell me that Alex Riley wasn't next. Yeah. Alex Riley was supposed to be in my mind. Alex Riley is supposed to be where Kofi Kingston them at.
Yeah,
like I use them. Like he's supposed to be where CM Punk and Kofi Kingston and all of those folks are at.
Yeah. Hey, listen, for me, Ross, A-Rod was supposed to be the Miz that the Miz couldn't be. And I think that's why they paired them together like that. I had a very high trajectory for A-Rod just off the strength of, okay, so they put him with Miz, so maybe he can't really talk. But then he actually wasn't that bad. But unfortunately, yeah, I don't remember a time he was in the ring and I was like, okay, maybe this it. Like, yo, so that's crazy. That's crazy. But yes, A-Rod. I do got A-Rod on it. Literally was about to say that next.
Okay. This is gonna sound bad because this is the first Black Champ podcast. And yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, real quick. This could very well be a Tom's Inc. podcast.
Mm.
Like, Tom's Inc. was the best worst nigga I've ever seen. I think it was Fall Brawl. Uh-huh. And they had Brian Pillman and Tom Zink wrestle for the light heavyweight championship.
Yep.
And Tom Zink couldn't do a promo to save his life, in my opinion, that grabbed me as a kid. Dropkick the hell out of a nigga.
Yeah. Dropkick.
But
cream.
When you get him to talking, even when he was in the Can-Am Connection, I was like, yo, why they got him talking? Like, it was a part in the promo where he told Brian Pillman, he's like, you know I'm a hothead, but I just really want to get. And I was like, oh, yeah, Tom Zink, fam, you need a manager.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to do this, just stand like this, or just, like, do this while another nigga talk.
Yeah.
Tom Zink on the mic was that damn terrible.
Yeah, he definitely needed Paul Heyman to believe in him.
He needed somebody to believe in him.
Just to solve it. But him or Missy Hyatt.
Yeah, but Tom Zink, great body, pause, drop kick, amazing drop kick. Yeah. But you get that man to talking, you like, yo, get the fuck up out of here. All right, This is First Black Champ. And yes, first of all, let me say this because it was something that came out last week that I wanted to mention because Hood said, y'all should did an emergency podcast. I'm like, nah, we kind of talked about this a bit. Mm-hmm. And it was Bobby Lashley after the AEW Full Gear pay-per-view. Some lady was like, yo, talking about black champions and everything. And let me first say, I think Bobby Lashley was right to answer the question the way that he answered. Like, you can't ask me about black champions, ma'am. I've been champion enough to where you ain't even got to have that conversation with me. You got that conversation with Private Party. Mm. But I've been in this game for years, man, and I've held damn near every championship. So that don't apply to me because I've been broke that mold. I get it. Like, I know a lot of people, well, some people was like, it's like telling a rich man, it's like telling a rich man how it feels to be around other rich people that's just like you. It's like, yo, I'm rich just like them, fam. Like, I get it. But besides that, this is going to be me telling you somebody that I saw And I knew that they were going to be Huff, and it might be a real, a weird reason why.
Okay.
And I think I've talked about this on the pod, but a wrestler who I saw and had no faith in whatsoever and was like, why is he here? Is Ezekiel Jackson. And it's for the weirdest reason, Cam. Ezekiel Jackson didn't have any, like, arm pads. He didn't have any tape on his wrist. He just came out there in wrestling draws, knee pads, and boots. And to me, I was like, nah, this ain't going to work. Like, no, where's his elbow pads? Like, where's his tape? Where's
yeah.
It's just like red draws and boots and nothing else. When I saw Ezekiel Jackson with, what's his name? Brian Kendrick. D. Brian Kendrick. I was like, yeah, dude going to be Huff. Like, I think they're going to try to push him, too. They're going to try to give him the Ahmed Johnson push. And they did. Yep. But I had no faith whatsoever in Ezekiel Jackson at all. So. Matter of fact, I had so much or so less of faith in Ezekiel Jackson that Ezekiel Jackson is now the bar for black wrestlers. It's like when Big E came out, I was like, yo, just don't Ezekiel Jackson, my man. Like, and I was so worried they was going to Ezekiel Jackson him.
Yeah.
But he broke the mold. So yeah, Ezekiel Jackson is like, don't be him. He was that terrible to me.
What's so wild about this? And I promise we did not rehearse this. We didn't plan this. This is not pre-show conversation. We didn't have a pre-show conversation.
We just got to work.
But dog, you're 1,000% right, because Ezekiel Jackson, I ain't gonna lie, a ring gear do matter.
Yes.
Ring gear matters. It really does determine what kind of star you're gonna be. If you just coming out there in draws and boots with no like flash or flare, your name ain't even on it. It's like, bro. And the thing is, we let Ahmed Johnson slide because it was 96. But even he did the BDSM straps on his legs, yeah. To cover his knee braces. So a certain element of that was kind of working, but Ezekiel Jackson, it was, yeah, no, I'm with you because Mr. Hughes was more valuable just because, oh, he about to wrestle in that.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? There's certain things that's like, hey, D'Lo Brown took bumps in the Muslim fit before they gave him ring gear and let him wrestle. That meant something. Like, they said his name because he was like, yo, they knocking the kufi right off his shit. Wow. Like,
and then wrestled in the chest protector.
Yeah.
You're right. Ring gear matters.
It does, man.
And Ezekiel Jackson came out there with red draws, red boots, that's it, and knee pads. And then, if you're going to do that, you got to have, like, a pad or two. Something man. Like, you something, can't man. Be out here butt-ass wrestling naked.
Yeah.
That's Ezekiel Jackson was just butt-ass wrestling naked to me. Yes, you can overdo it. But, yeah, ring gear matters, and Ezekiel Jackson is the bar for me. He's legit the bar. Don't be like this. Right, yeah, like if somebody be like, oh, man, Carmelo Hayes is losing. He's just losing. Like, what? As long as he's not Ezekiel Jackson, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no swag to Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah, sorry.
At all. It's not.
You know.
Like, he really wrestling that kid.
Yeah. And what's so wild is when the Brian Kendrick is taken off as a character and he just standing there like it wasn't a Shawn Michaels Diesel thing. I was like, yo, Kendrick's shining right now. Like, he's shining. I was like, yo, I ain't go front. I mess with this. Like, he feel kind of coked out, you know what I mean? But like, yo, but what he doing when he win the matches? Like, he just standing there like, this will work. He was dressed like he was going to the all white party, man. Like, he was on the way to the Happy People shoot.
Matter of fact,
Morgan.
I caught the reference, nigga. Happy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we need to watch that video and see if Ezekiel ain't in the background of that.
Bruh, like Ezekiel Jackson may very well be a great guy. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Jackson might be a great guy, married with kids, good father. Mm-hmm. He could very well be all of those things. But I'm going to give you the equivalent of Ezekiel Jackson and how better it was, and it's damn near the same shit. Mm. Titus O'Neil.
Yeah.
Like Titus O'Neil. But then he hits you with the like, I bet. Yeah, he's cute. Right. I bet.
You know what I'm saying? Still not a great talker.
No.
But won't stop trying. So I do give him respect for that. He won't stop trying.
Yeah, it won't. And Titus O'Neil is a great guy.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Jackson may very well be a great guy, but Titus O'Neil is another wrestler who, I'm sorry, y'all, it matters.
Yeah.
Titus O'Neil came out there with no elbow pads, no wrist tape.
Yeah.
He just came out there in draws.
Yeah.
In boots. He came out there looking like a stripper.
Yeah. And he's way too tall to dress like that.
He's way too tall. Like,
sorry.
Like, he can't. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong here in thinking of this. But I need my wrestlers to have an elbow pad or two. Mm-hmm. I need them to have, like, some wrist tape. I need them to have, like, a glove on or something. I don't need naked arm wrestlers.
Yeah. No, it
if
matters,
you bro. Don't wear extra shit, I'm looking at you crazy. Yeah. You gotta be a great wrestler.
Yeah.
If your ring gear gonna be huff.
At least have a jacket that you take off. I'm like, okay, you gotta take the jacket off. You know, like at least that. That's
yeah,
important.
You just came out there naked.
Yeah.
You just came out there wrestling naked. That's it. And Ezekiel Jackson, I'm sorry. There was like, okay, let's talk about wrestling niggas in ring gear real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The best is probably Booker T in Harlem Heat.
Yeah.
They the flames.
Yeah.
They had the elbow pads. They had the tape. It was color coordinated. All of those things.
The Mo D shades and the hat in the beginning.
Apollo Crews, he's another one. Like, Apollo Crews, things might not be working out the way we thought it could and stuff like that,
yeah.
But he always dressed to the nine.
Mm-hmm.
Big E, New Day, always, like, they be dressing like goddamn anime figures and all of that shit. But look at the wrestlers we just talked about. They did something with their career. Ezekiel Jackson won the Intercontinental Championship. Uh-huh. And I want to say he won that shit because they just needed to put it on somebody before we could give it to Wade Barrett.
Yeah, that's when they didn't care about the title. They were just trying to get new guys on the title, to be honest.
So, yeah, man, look, Ezekiel Jackson may very well be a great guy.
Yeah.
He might be. But he's my bar of terrible black wrestlers. He is. And is partly because of his ring gear. He just looked like a big black dude in draws.
Yeah. And not for nothing, to kind of solidify your point, in the ranking of black wrestlers, there should be no way that we could logically rank Stevie Ray over Ezekiel Jackson just on the eye test.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I got Stevie Ray way ahead of Ezekiel Jackson.
and yeah, I forgot. Ezekiel Jackson won the ECW championship too. But that's, look, Ezekiel Jackson.
He won Vince's ECW title.
Yeah, like Vince saw Ezekiel Jackson, was like, yo, I think I could get this Ahmed Johnson swag back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was no swag to it. Like, what did Ezekiel Jackson do, y'all, other than that? Other than this? What did Ezekiel Jackson do?
Yeah, man.
Monty Brown gave us the pounce. Titus O'Neal gave us oof. He was a Q. Ezekiel Jackson gave us not a goddamn thing.
Oh,
and
man.
When you look at Titus O'Neal and Ezekiel Jackson, they both had naked arms. But one did this with it, and the other did this with it. And Titus O'Neal was more cultural when it came to that. So it was like, we let that pass.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen.
Ezekiel Jackson is, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you. Hey, and because it just came to my mind, hey, shout out to Rodney Mack.
Yeah, like Rodney Mack, come on, man. Like, Rodney Mack had the tattoo. He looked like Ray. Like, Rodney Mack looked like Ray a little bit. Like, if Ray was a wrestler, if our nigga Ray was a wrestler, Ray would be Rodney Mack.
Thugging and bugging. Hey, thugging hey, listen. Bugging. Hey, hey, about 20 years ago, Ray was thugging and bugging on New Year's Eve. Like, he was. He was thugging
my
and
old shit started stealing out of him. Yeah, I. All right, question of the day. See if y'all answer this shit. But as far as black wrestlers go, who is your bar for a terrible black wrestler?
Mm.
Like, who's the bar for you? Like, don't be Ezekiel Jackson. Maybe for some people it's like, don't be Elijah Burke or some shit. Even though I fuck with dude heavy.
You know, Elijah Burke was hard.
Yeah, somebody might be like, don't fuck with Mr. Hughes. Like, just don't be Mr. Hughes or don't be Ice Train. Like, who is that black wrestler? Like, you saw him on the screen, and all right, this is even better. This is even a better way to explain it than we could talk about last night. Anytime we watch a game show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we watch a game show, damn.
Okay, I'm taking bread. I'm taking bread.
Anytime you watch a game show, you go, I want the black team to win.
Facts.
It could be Wheel of Fortune. It could be Guts. It could be Legends of Hidden Temple. It could be Jeopardy. Want the black people to win. Who's that black wrestler where they came onto the screen and you was like, I don't care if they win or not. Just get them off the screen.
Oh, man.
Yours is.
Good. No, I ain't gonna lie. No, I'm going with Maven. And I forgot about Maven until 3 weeks ago because Maven is now on like a promo run, making it sound like he a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He got a pod, like he got a pretty decent video following on YouTube and everything.
Yeah. And look, and no disrespect to the guy, because I know that, you know, he was kind of like the first Michael Sam of the WWE, at least out loud anyway, or something like that. But Maven.
Maven ain't gay.
He is. Yeah, that's why the Ric Flair promo was the promo. He was like, when he's like, I had more championships than you had women, that's because he know that he's homosexual. At least that's the story. That was the story.
Are y'all sure?
Hey, look, they said Ric Flair cut that promo because Maven is homosexual.
I ain't know.
And that's why it's thing. If you remember, Jerry Lawler in the cut on that same episode of Raw.
I ain't know.
He was like, Ric Flair's a 16-time champion. And he's like, well, he's saying Maven. And Jerry Lawler kind of like cut him off like, yo, hey, you know.
I didn't know. I swear to God, I did not know.
Hey, listen. This might be first black champ told y'all first, or this could be just rumor gone wrong. But I remember because it was him, and then it's Orlando Jordan. That's how the hierarchy went to me as far as rappers, wrestlers coming out or being out or being perceived as. They said Maven was homosexual, and because they were trying to say, that's why he didn't get his push after winning Tough Enough, because if he's a gay wrestler. Hey, look, I'm only telling y'all what I saw and read in the 90s, early 2000s.
I'm today years old knowing that.
Hey, listen.
I just used to laugh because he ain't had no facial hair.
So, yo, that was the thing. So,
Now I feel bad in my choice outside of Ezekiel Jackson. I feel bad in my choice.
Oh, no. Yo, hey, listen. Again, maybe there's an episode where he's going to clear that up.
Now, mind you, wait a minute, before we even say anything, we are Live Your Life podcast.
Yeah, so for sure.
If he is, so what? I'm just saying, I ain't know. I just knew Buddy Ass is looking at shouts out to our man Ramon. And like when I shaved my facial hair off, he said, look like a sour grape. Like that's maybe it looks like a sour grape because I don't know if he could grow facial hair or not. But yeah.
Hey, listen, I am not, don't Tasha K me. I'm just telling y'all why they said Ric Flair cut that promo on him backstage when he approached him with Randy Orton and the one girl, I forget the girl's name, I'm sorry, and he slapped Maven and told him to get up out of here. He was like, yo, he's like, I'm about to show you something. I've had more championships than you had women. And I was like, it went over my head. I was like, oh, he's saying he don't get no pussy. But fast forward, though, when Jerry Lawler's doubling down on what he just said, it was just like, oh, and then it was like, oh, well, Maven's gay. He's that's why you've had more championships than he
wow.
had.
Wow. Hey, look, I'm today years old and knowing this, but it makes me feel bad. And the wrestler that I'm going to bring up, but a wrestler who I did not give a damn about, of another wrestler that I just, like, when I saw him on the screen, I just like, And it's not because of his sexuality, ladies and gentlemen. This was before he went to TNA and everything went up. Orlando Jones. I thought Orlando Jones was the worst. I was like, JBL, you couldn't find another black guy? I thought Orlando Jones was the worst, my G. And then,
hold on real quick. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Gotta say Orlando Jordan because Orlando Jones, that's not my bad. Drumline.
My bad. See, look.
That's the case.
Orlando Jordan. So let me rewind that. Orlando Jordan was the worst to me. I was like, JBL, you got to go find you another black wrestler. Orlando Jordan is terrible. When they had my man, you know, put the relaxer in his head, I was like, nah, Jack, y'all wild. Why y'all got him out here with the relaxer, like, in his head? Why y'all got him out here looking like Eddie Kang Jr. when he got out the bed? Why does Orlando Jordan has this in his head? Now, when he went to TNA and shit went left, I was like, okay, that's an interesting character, how they doing this. That character drew me in and was more, had me more interested than being part of JBL's cabinet. But there was nothing that did they put a belt on Orlando Jordan? Like, did he win the United States Championship?
Yeah, I was gonna say, he won the U.S. title.
Yeah, Orlando Jordan was the wrestler for me that when he wrestled, it's like, I don't care if that black person went. Like,
yeah, because the cabinet ran the table, they had everything.
Yeah, see, I just had to make sure.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure he's that wrestler. All right, man. Let's move on, because I didn't call Orlando Jones gay. You said Maven gay.
Yeah. Somebody's going to listen. Flair said it. Ric Flair, Jerry Lawler said it. Yeah. Told me.
Like, somebody's going to listen to this. Like, Hood's going to listen to this podcast and be like, hey, y'all wild for this one.
Yeah. Hey, and listen. I do want to say, again, don't Tasha K me.
No Tasha K.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm telling y'all, Ric Flair, Jerry Lawler, Jim Ross is cut in, and then, like, after, when he got released, they were saying that was why. That's all I'm speaking to.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. So look, Survivor Series was last night.
Yes.
Survivor Series Wars Games was last night. And before we even get to the pod, I mean, get to the part of the pod where we're talking about some of the matches, like, overall, what did you think about the pod, I mean, the wrestling show? Like, what did you think about the PLE?
Man, you know what? A lot of unnecessary things happen. It was a little overdramatic for me. And with that all said, I'm going to give it a solid 3 out of 5 off the rip. I'm just going to give y'all my rating out off the rip. 3 out of 5. And it struggled to get to that 3. But I'm going to be respectful of the stories that they're trying to tell. But we can officially go back to the 80s format, 80s, 90s format for Survivor Series. For sure.
Yeah, I'm not mad at what they tried to do. Mm-hmm. I went to sleep a couple of times. Mm. Like, I dead ass went to sleep a couple of times, and I didn't have any extracurriculars either. And I wasn't just, like, overall tired. It was hard for it between the War Games matches. Mm-hmm. It was difficult for me to keep my attention. Mm. Because so much was invested, but also, like, the other matches came out of nowhere. When we did the prediction show last week, we was just like, yo, they gonna put something else up in here. And they did, and in my opinion, I'm not sure that that was the right thing to do. They could have did the traditional Survivor Series thing, but let's go to the top of the food chain. Let's go to the OG Bloodline versus the new Bloodline. And the OG Bloodline won, and it was no swerves. It was no shocks. It was no swerves. The guys won it. The OG guys won it. You in our Facebook group was like, after this. Why,
Man, I said that because, man, how anticlimactic for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, I was praying at the point where when Roman extended his arms out, and Solo was there saying it didn't have to be like this. I'm thinking, okay, well then join them and pin Tama Tonga then. Throw me for a loop. And then Solo gets up. And then a Jacob gets up. And then now it's y'all. And now y'all beat up CM Punk. So do something. That wasn't War Games to me. And look, we didn't watch War Games matches last night. We watched hardcore cage matches. That's what we saw last night. I'm trying to get with the times here. I'm trying to respect the new format of this match. But last night, wouldn't it? And for all the story and build up to get that match, I'm sorry, man. That was super. That was just a no. It was, and the thing is, and again, we got legends in the building. We got legends in that cage. Everybody, with the exception of Cabacho, is probably going to be inducted. well, time I got to leave, dude. But you know, and that. From a match execution standpoint, respect. But from a storytelling aspect, I'm good, fam.
I love the match. Let me just say this. I love the match. What I think the WWE did a bad job at is just closing out the show. They just kept bringing camera views, and you see the referee telling the team to do this, and CM Punk left and came back with instructions. They put up the ones, and he put up the nat thing, and I was just like, ain't nobody coming out in this shit.
Right.
Like, you ain't got to keep grasping and giving us like making us feel like something's gonna happen. I saw that and I was just like, okay, something must be happening the way that y'all continue to prolong this. And that's what made it anticlimactic to me. If they would have just ended the match, put up the ones, they up in the cage, and then that's it, then that would have been it for me. And then you go to the Michael Cole and them, and they start doing the post show. But you didn't. And that's what made it anticlimactic to me, because it was like, okay, y'all are pulling strings here. But the match to me was a great match.
Okay.
The match to me told a story. the match to me, like most of these, when you put people in it, is the other person going to turn on somebody else? What's going to happen here? It does raise questions on what's next for the new bloodline, if there is a next.
Yeah, see? Right there. The new bloodline just lost at War Games. Why do we need to see them Friday?
We don't. The and way that they lost too.
Yeah.
Like the way that they lost too. And mind you, again, I think the match was great. I think it just leads to questions or just doubts on what's next. So whatever happens on Friday, it needs to show up and show out. But if nobody is going to come out, then you're left at the end seeing Roman Reigns tell Solo, like, come in. Like, let's end this, fam. Hugs. And Solo, like, fuck this shit. And they all do their finisher. And then it's over while everybody is laying on the ground. Hopefully, Jacob Fatu's injury is not serious. If it is an injury, yeah, maybe fake. I hope that he's good on that. Even Bronson Reed, I hopefully everything is good on his end and stuff.
Yeah.
But the match was good. It was just the way that it ended combined with the length of time it took for the show to close. It was waiting. You were waiting for something else to happen, and nothing else happened. Matter of fact, the only thing, in my opinion, after the match that really made sense and made a good question was CM Punk hugging Paul Heyman and saying, hey, remember, you owe me a favor, and I'll let you know when I need that, but I'm going to need that. But then when you saw Roman Reigns' interaction with Paul Heyman, he just put his head on like his shoulder, and that's it. So it made you go, all right, what's the relationship with those two? What's the relationship with those two? But then after that, the damn lower third should have came, it should have all rights reserved, executive produced by, and then run the montage. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
Right.
They slow woke their ass up the ramp. CM Punk walked out. Then he walked back out, gave some instructions, one's up, not nap time, and then they did it. What the
Right. Yeah, man. What I love about Roman Reigns as the tribal chief character is that, man, does he sell so subtle. And why I was absolutely waiting just for something else, I ain't gonna lie. Hey, listen, full transparency, I was hoping that Brock Lesnar's music hit
something
last night, because Roman Reigns was just uncertain the entire night, from his interaction and engagement with CM Punk to when they went to through the match, helping each other, not helping each other. And then when we get to the end of the match, when to me, and I'll speak to this only, when I see how Roman Reigns reacts to Paul Heyman, I was like, he think that he about to take him out. And he got to get him first. Like, that's just what I think when I saw that interaction. And when CM Punk and Heyman interacted, and when Punk was like, hey, we owe each other. So I was like, oh, okay. What is about to happen next? So I like it because it looks like now Jimmy, or Big Jim, as Corey Graves let us know all night, Big Jim and Roman are now absolutely a tandem of some sort. Paul Heyman, who should never be a face, is now incoincidentally, dealing with two super faces. There is more story to be built here, but where do they go? Because we're running out of bloodline business, especially bloodline business that matters. Because I know outside of January 6th, but Jay got to go back to Raw.
Yeah.
So does Sammy. CM Punk wants the title. So he should be in another program. Like, all of that, again, you got to sell me on tomorrow. What are they going to do Friday? I would love to know where this could possibly go, because I don't want to see 30 minutes of celebration.
Right, and I think we all know where part of this is going to lead to, and it's going to be The Rock. This is why I had said on last week's show, I didn't think The Rock was going to show up. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be the Paul Heyman swerve, which starts the setup. Mm. To this, and maybe it still might happen, but even after last night, I'm not mad at some of the questions that I have when it comes to Roman Reigns and CM Punk. Like, when we get the Royal Rumble time, will CM Punk want Paul Heyman to cash in on his favor and something happens there? Will this lead to Roman Reigns and CM Punk? I wouldn't mind that at all if The Rock is not going to be involved. Like, what is going to go on here, right? I'm not mad at those questions there. I am only talking about the new bloodline and the questions there. But even still, and just thinking about what we're talking about here, Roman Reigns is still telling the niggas in the OG bloodline what to do, for the exception of Jay.
Yeah.
He told Sammy to go out there instead of CM Punk. And Sammy was looking like, oh, okay. And, of course, Jimmy going to do whatever Cuz say. Even when they got there, Sammy and Jay was already there. Jimmy pulled up with his cousin. Like, what? Now that this is over, I want to know what the dynamic looks like. Jimmy is going to be riding with Cuz, but Jay is going back to Raw, as you said. Sammy is going back to Raw, like you said. CM Punk is going back to Raw. Bronson Reed is going back to Raw. Mm-hmm. So who's gonna help out Roman when the rest of the bloodline is there? The new bloodline is there. But what's up with the new bloodline? We predicted that Jacob Fatu would be the shining star. I say he was one of the shining stars. Yeah. Him, Bronson Reed, and Jimmy Uso, Big Jim. They was like, yo, this your night, cuz.
Yeah.
They told Jimmy, this your night.
Hey, the three people that needed it got it. And I felt that was really important. I'm glad I was not wrong about Jacob. Hey, man, he just need to chill out in the high impact move so he can finish a match. That's about it. But yeah. Hey, Bronson Reed, again, hey, man, because I'm the payoff guy. I thought everything that he did in that match, that spoke to, okay, yes, I'm destructive, but hey, man, you can put me in some situations. Like, I'm not going to drop the ball completely. And Jimmy, yeah, absolutely. Nobody's bitch needed this. Like Jimmy Uso needed that. And you know what? If you, even though I was like, yo, Jacob's about to go crazy. When I thought about it, and I was like, yo, I'm happy that Bronson Reed is just in the match that matters. But yeah, when you look at who needs the match the most, it was undoubtedly Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
It was undoubtedly.
And he got it. I just want to know what's next. And The Rock is too early for The Rock. Mm-hmm. It's way too early for The Rock to show up on Friday to say, hey, no, like, it is way too early for all of that. But those are good questions to have when it comes to all of that. It is more or less for me the new bloodline and what's next for all of those. Because quite honestly, as much as I love Gorillas of Destiny, there's no need for them after what happened on Sunday.
Yeah.
As much as I love Jacob Fatu, there's no need for him. And Bronson Reed goes back. Now you have to make a need for those guys. And it's easier to me to make a need for Jacob Fatu than it is for Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what is going to happen. Because the way it looked, the way they made it look, the way that it ended, hey, man, that shit dead.
Question for you. Because we I think we've been in agreement for the better part of 3 or 4 years about Roman Reigns always getting somebody over, putting somebody over. Who, outside of Jim having the impactful match, who, or maybe that is it, who was the guy that really got over in this match that we are excited to see or hear from Monday or Friday?
Jacob Fatu.
Okay.
I'm not excited to hear about Jimmy or hear from Jimmy. But I am with Jacob Fatu. Like, I am, I want to hear him say, "I love you, Solo, and I put my body on the line for you, and I ain't going nowhere." And he could just say that, and then I'm good. He, as you say, he just got to look like he stayed healthy. He just got to look like it.
Yeah.
Because he very well may be okay.
Yeah.
Because after he got up a couple of times, he did a couple of runs, and I was like, okay, he good. But then he'll hold the back of that leg again. So hopefully he's good. But Jacob Fatu got over to me even on the bigger level. He made himself look even scarier off of the fact that I got hurt, but I was still whooping y'all ass. So
right.
Like, so that's that. Let's move on to the War Games, the women's match, Team Ripley versus Team Morgan. Let me ask you, am I thinking too much in saying that that match was a dud?
No, not at all. And now, we don't have the ISO on me, but I just want to say a few things about this match.
ISO time. Hold on. Boom. Let's
okay,
get it.
Hey, well, okay. Hey, listen. If women are going to use chairs like that in matches, I no longer want to see women using chairs in matches. Toilet seat was wild, but it was funny. So I let it rock. Also, and here's my thing with War Games matches. And you might take the ISO off of me after I say this. Yo, running after the 3 or 4 participants get in the ring, and now it is, let's just grab everything we can under the ring and just throw it in there. I'm over that. That's done. I'm done and over. Take a page out of WCW's book. Show up with the bat like Liv did, so salute to Liv. But you're supposed to have your fist tape, supposed to have a chain, a 2x4. You should already be walking with the chair. You should be coming in there off the rip with the table. Hey, all of this extra shit, again, it's just like the game. I get it. Y'all doing the game simulation. This is all WWE 2K24. Where you do the function and you're under the ring, and then, oh, hey, I'm going to select the kendo stick, and then you bring it out. But, dog, I'm sick of that. I'm sick of that in War Games matches, because a lot of this women's match was prop setup. Like, they're wasting our time. Bianca Belair's, the first 2 or 3 minutes, it was her grabbing chairs and grabbing tables and grabbing the fire extinguisher. And it's just like, for what? For what? There weren't any hard bumps. And this is fresh off of me saying, hey, yo, the women are going crazy. And we're wrestling very stiff. And this is the match, y'all take it easy. I know that the chair rule is out, but Nia could at least swung that chair over Naomi's back to hit her in it, or made it look like she hit her in the head. Versus what happened where nobody really caught a chair shot. Shout out to whoever cut up the Hulk Hogan when he was FU New Blood. And he did the joint. But yeah, man, we just it became too prop heavy. It became that thing where it was less story and it was more setup, spot setup. It became super spot heavy, and I'm not saying the spots weren't good or dope or whatever. I'll take a page out of Chris Jericho's book. I'll stop saying people botched certain moves, but this just wasn't it. This literally should have been 2 8 women tag matches, because even though it's Team Liv versus Team Rhea, because she, her, Michael Cole kept saying Team Bianca the whole night.
Yeah.
He said Team Bianca the whole night. So that lets you know Team Liv, Team Rhea, Team Bianca, and Team Nia should have been a thing. And y'all had enough women to do 2 8 women tag matches or 10 women tag matches. And we just didn't do it. Instead, we're doing hardcore cage matches. And it's a waste of time. Again, this wasn't War Games to me. These wasn't War Games to me. They need to bring back, what was the shit? What was the damn Mick Foley hardcore title pay-per-view? Have a nice day, like, or whatever that shit was. Yo, call it that. I'm sick of, now we're sullying the name of War Games. Sorry.
I agree. Like, wholeheartedly. Like, anytime a woman came up and they waited about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to grab something from the bottom of the ring, it was irritating me. Like, nah, man, War Games is you get in the ring and you get to it.
Yeah.
It ain't let me wait half of this time while my tag team partner's getting their ass beat to go grab a weapon. And yes, Nia Jax should be ashamed of herself the way she was wielding that chair. Yeah. I was watching it like, the hell? What are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here?
Facts.
Like, if War Games is the get to it match.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Hell in a Cell to me is not even the get to it match.
No.
War Games is the get to it match. Every other cage is a story to tell. Mm-hmm. War Games, get to it. And I might be in a minority here. Mm-hmm. Might be in a minority here. I don't need to see Io Sky put a trash can on her body and do a moonsault no more.
Yeah. We're 3 times in. Now she got a specialty garbage can. Hey, look. And I love Io Sky. Hey, look, Io and Rhea on what I'm on. But enough of that spot already. And Raquel Rodriguez timing is off.
Very much
so. Her timing is off. Have a regular match, bro. Like, have a regular elimination match. Because her timing was bad.
You were 100% right. That match could have just been an 8 women tag. A 4 women tag, 2 of them, and we would have been good. But yeah, that match to me was a dud. It was the pits. And yes, and this happens on a lot of the women's matches. I hate it with the men, but for some reason, probably because they women, not even on front, probably because they women, it gets magnified a bit more. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that spot every time.
Right.
See, it's like, nah, me personally, I don't need to see Io Sky put a can over her body and do a moonsault no more. Like, I don't need to do the Tower of Doom powerbomb thing. I don't need to see y'all crisscross Bianca Belair's hair and y'all do something with that. I don't need to see none of that shit no more, because then when you are in a War Games match, then it's just like, well, I already know how this is going to go.
Right.
I already know how this is going to go. I don't need to see Rhea Ripley do her move off the top rope unless it's something else to it. Now, I will say, she looked like she fucked Liv up on this one and everything. But, yeah. The spots can be done the same but look different.
Absolutely.
And that's what I think was missing. And I don't mean different in having a unique trash can to put your body in and do a moonsault.
Right. Hey, and on top of that, there's new spots that haven't been done. Hey, look, if they ever do this, First Black Champ told you first, how did we get in the situation where whether it was Nia and Liv, or Nia and Tiffy, or whoever, how did nobody tie Bianca Belair's ponytail to that cage and start beating her with kendo sticks and chairs? How was that not happen yet in the match? But hey, look, her hair was used as the weapon 3 or 4 times to beat up people in the corner. We're not being innovative with the spots. I'm not sure who's producing the women's matches or if they're giving them too much free reign. But man, hey. And this is because, look, when the dudes do it, it's whack too. I'm sick of the super superplex.
From I'm sick corner. Of the super. Look, I'm sick of the super superplex. I'm sick of the multiple super kicks.
Yeah.
I am sick of a number of things that the men do. So yeah, this is not absolving them. I am
right. The thing is, hey, because now even the people that just started watching 10 years ago are pissed. Like, y'all got to do something else. Like, it's time to raise the bar now. Like, this is for all of the new wrestling fans that have come in when the Shield debuted. So that's 2012. So now it's 2025. Let's just count it. 13 years from that time. It's time for new spots. It's time for new energy. It's time for new production. We've spent our wheels on this. Or again, we could just stop doing these matches because the 10 women in this match are more than capable of giving us great matches with no objects and no cages. So it ain't that. We not one of them podcasts that's talking that kind of shit. We're saying we know the talent. We love the story. Give us a better climax. And there's nothing wrong with men asking for a better climax.
Not at all. With that being said, let's move over to, I ain't gonna front, my favorite moment of the night, LA Knight, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Shinsuke Nakamura's new thing. Gee, hey, I know they changed it again. Yeah, I know it sounded like something else on SmackDown. But this one, Knock.
Yeah.
This one you can rap to.
Yeah, this one is better than the Asian Limp Bizkit one.
Yeah, it is. Sure. Yeah, it is. Yeah, no. When all of that started happening, and then I saw that pocket. I said, man, West Side Gun Smoke this. If y'all don't get on this Shinsuke, I heard the pocket. There's a good 16. There's a good 16 in that Shinsuke joint. That theme I've said this on the show before. Sometimes I hear new theme music and I see new interests and I'm like, hey, that person's about to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When Shinsuke Nakamura came out with that new music, I was like, yeah, he's winning tonight. Like, it's, matter of fact, I said on my couch, this might be a squash match.
Mm.
That was kind of a squash match.
Yeah, I was gonna say, low key.
Like, what are your thoughts on this match and the anticlimactic end to LA Knight's U.S. title reign?
Man, the one thing that went through my mind consistently through this match is that, yo, even with Vince gone, we do not give a damn about this U.S. title. Mm-hmm. that was number one for me. You know what? Debuts, re-debuts, reintroductions, just like Green Gear, matter. I can't front. When I saw Shinsuke's entrance at a Survivor Series, I was like, they gearing him up for something.
Man.
And I like the helmet with the mask, like that, like his gear was fly. Like, it was hard. Like, yo, he looked like Darth Reaper, you know what I'm saying, the samurai warrior. That's what he looked like. And you know, not for nothing, I haven't been impressed with this title run from LA Knight, but I'm not gonna blame him. I think if anybody was a victim of bad booking this year, it is LA Knight.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be 1,000,000,000% honest on that. I would love to say that they're gearing him up for something bigger, but man, I don't know. He must have too much dip on his chip backstage or in the locker room, because what the hot streak he was on chasing a belt or chasing a W, skip chasing the belt, the hot streak he was on chasing a W has all but fizzled out completely as we come into the close of 2024. So I'm confused. But hey, look, strong showing by Shinsuke. He's officially back. I don't want to hear any of the Shinsuke stands or the New Japan stands or the five star indie wrestling match fans ever say some shit about how Shinsuke don't get an opportunity and how he don't get a chance and how he need to win this and win that and have this? No, he's damn near done everything. And he comes back at a moment's notice and does it. Like, low-key, he Asian Charlotte Flair. It just don't be the world title or the WWE championship. That's the only difference. So, I still don't think the U.S. title is on the right person. I don't know what to say about that. But again, hey, listen, just from a guy that's been watching wrestling a little while, once we start doing U.S. Opens and open United States Championship challenges, the title's getting dropped.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get this with Shinsuke. Again, I love that theme. I love his entrance. And what I did not like, which made all of this even more anticlimactic, is basically they're like, yo, he had to get an LA Knight head. He dropped the belt on the way to the ring, blah, blah, blah. Now, I got a feeling LA Knight wasn't feeling a lot of this shit. I'm feeling that LA Knight is just like, oh, man, oh, this is what we're doing? Fuck
right.
It. Like, I really, truly believe that's what his mindset was on the way to the ring. With that being said, I do like this for Shinsuke. It's just you got to feed him the right people to make the right faces to make him the type of heel that it looks like you're going to make him. And what I mean by that is y'all just made this man a scary heel.
Yeah.
Y'all, Triple H digged in the crates. He dug in the races, or let me not say races. Triple H dug in the stereotypical box, the stereotype box, when it comes to wrestling. Asians are normally dangerous, mysterious characters.
Okay.
That's what this version of Shinsuke is.
It was the pausing in the phrase. Asians are dangerous.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, some MAGA fan is going to chop that up and go crazy.
They probably will. They probably will. But like,
even the black guys think so. Even the black guys on wrestling, they talk about.
Hey, look, man, you got great Muda.
The legend.
You got the great Kabuki, who was a white guy. You got Craig Muda. Shit, you had Yoshi Kwan, who's a white guy too. They all had that.
Come on, Resident. Come on, Swizz Beatz.
Like, you had that thing. You came out to the ring slow. You had some paint on your face. And you spit some shit out. That's Shinsuke. However, only the great Muda made me go, oh, shit. This Shinsuke is scary. Yeah, fucking people up. So you got to feed him faces that's going to make you go, oh.
Yo, he real.
He real out here. If you do this and LA Knight has to come back, then you can get that momentum back. If you say, yo, we have a return match on SmackDown this Friday, LA Knight versus Shinsuke, and he wins with a roll up or something, then it fucks all of this up. So, but this version of Shinsuke, I'm with. And sometimes, look, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be the first to tell you, sometimes stereotypical characters works in wrestling. Go look at Tony D'Angelo. He working out there in NXT. Look at Shinsuke. Right, hey, sometimes it works, y'all. Bron Breakker defeated Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser. Bron Breakker's a damn star, ladies and gentlemen. I can't apologize enough to Bron Breakker. Though Bron Breakker was going to come to the main roster and just be like his daddy without Scott. He's Scott without his daddy. That's what it is. Let's be real, y'all. Hey, if we're going to keep it a buck about the Steiner brothers, let's keep it a buck. Bron Breakker is his uncle without his daddy, and not his daddy without his uncle.
Yeah. That's fair.
That's what it is. That man's a star to the point. I was hoping Ludwig Kaiser won the Intercontinental Championship so they can move him out of this shit and put him with Gunther. Put him with the Gunther.
Okay.
The end of the year should have been a program. It should be a program with Bron Breakker versus Gunther. Okay. I'm ready to start having conversations about putting the world championship on Bron Breakker.
Mm. So this was action-packed. I believe earlier in the year, I alluded to something like, yo, I would love to see Kaiser have a breakout year, but they probably won't do it because of so many people in his way. But man, I like the fact that I wasn't all the way wrong. Because boy, has the third and fourth quarter look really great for him.
Yes.
And he's really stepped it up. And I like everything he's doing. I won't repeat what my man J Dub say about doing in my comments and my text thread. That's our personal business. But hey, look, I mess with Ludwig Kaiser. He hard. I think he's one of the last great characters. What with last great like European uppity snobby characters that we have in this era of wrestling. I'm with you on Bron Breakker. As I saw this match and I watched how he won it, to me, man, if Goldberg actually loved wrestling and wanted to get great at it, he'd be Bron Breakker. That's my final thought. So to your point, piggybacking off of it, kind of with that statement, man, sky is the limit. No way he's not holding the world title. There's no way.
Yeah.
That's an injustice. I am going to go even further out on the limb now. If Bron Breakker's career ends without him being a 3 to 5 time WWE and or world champion, the company has done something wrong, or he's violated every single policy known to man on the way to the top. That's the only way it ain't happening for him.
I agree with you on that. Let's move on to the world championship match. Gunther defeated Damian Priest. It looks like Finn Balor and Damian Priest are still on. Finn Balor called a boot to the mouth during this. So I guess we get a triple threat match soon.
Yeah, I mean, it would look that way. I was worried about this match. And this is the only way to solve it, because now it looks like Judgment Day is slowly dissolving. But now it's Finn versus Damian versus Gunther. Excuse me. And I'm here for that, because that is actually a pick'em of who should win or who could win. That this is one of the most even triple threat matches for a world title if I've ever seen one. It's one of the most, it's up there for me, with what's being built as far as story right now. So I'm not mad at it. But let's get it done. Let's do it right. At this point right now, I don't care who wins it.
Yeah. I will say it's about time for Finn to get back in the world title picture. Mm-hmm. I will say that. And if this is his way back in it, I'm with it too. I don't think neither will defeat Gunther. But I would, again, like to see Finn Balor back in the world title conversation. Before we get to our final thoughts and guarantee MT. So yes, I had a nice main event. It's gonna be Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens for the WWE Undisputed Championship. So now we could put our predictions back out there again. I think we both said that Kevin Owens will come out victorious.
Yes.
Are we sticking with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the perfect shakeup and the perfect start to Saturday night's main event. If you were not there for Saturday night's main event, some of the most legendary and impactful moments in wrestling happened on Saturday night's main event. And I think nothing would be cooler to kick off that show and rebrand it and repackage it to this new era will top Kevin Owens going over on Cody Rhodes, beating him for the title, and you know, putting Cody back on the chase because the story's over. Now what else you got?
Yeah, I'm with you. I ain't changing my prediction. Kevin Owens should come out on top. He should just lose it at Royal Rumble. But no, he should come out on top on this, and that's the way you really put it out there. Also, the United States, the Women's United States Championship Finals will happen on that. Chelsea Green, Meechin is in there. Naomi as well, and I think we're waiting on one more person. We'll see between three other women, I think Tiffany Stratton and two other people. I can't remember who.
Yeah.
But we'll see who's going to happen there. But we all feel the same way.
Chelsea Green, no matter. I ain't picking her. Whoever it is, I ain't picking her. I'm picking Chelsea Green.
Picking Chelsea Green for the win. But they did announce that the Women's Intercontinental Championship is going to be happening after that. And I hope that my prediction rang true. That is somebody from NXT. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink. Roxanne Perez winning that. But I've seen a louder group saying that Dakota Kai should win the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, she cleared?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not mad at that, right? I'm not mad at it. But just no. And to what Brandon's saying here, healthy wrestlers matter too, just like ring gear. And I would rather the title go to a woman that's been there week in, week out. And I know injury is kind of inevitable and unpreventable. You can't kind of gauge or, you know, predict how that's going to go. But I'll tell you what, if we're not putting, you know, an Io Sky or a, well, Liv already has a title. So, like, even a Raquel or a, you know, just another woman that's really been there and putting in the work, a Naomi, then I think we're making a big mistake at what, one, the Intercontinental title represents just as a name, and two, how it's going to be contested and competed for in the very near future.
I've heard other people say Natalia as well, because the history of the Hart family and the Intercontinental. No.
Y'all just Googling now, right?
Yeah, we just doing shit at this point.
Should have talked to me.
Like, we just doing shit at this point. Yeah. If anything, the only other person other than Roxanne Perez I think should get that belt is Zelina Vega.
Yeah.
Outside of that, nah, I'm straight on that. And I'm barely straight on this Zelina Vega shit, too, even though I love a little bit. But but Roxanne Perez, I think that's the move right there. Hold on, I think it was something else I wanted to ask you. It was something else I wanted to ask you, but I might have to just wait till the next episode to ask you that question. Oh, was Tiffany Stratton not cashing in the right call?
The way they set it up, yes. Because, I mean, even though they lost the match anyway, it's still a, but why do it this way right now? Like, see, now, because then she ends up a face also. She helps Team Rhea win and gets the title off a heel. But it's like, so now you're going to go to Raw and now it's you versus Rhea for the title? Like, you know what I mean? It's just the setup was just wrong. I love the having the briefcase in the garbage can. That was ill. But man, I just would have rather they tried that when the match was over or when it was clear that one of them was going to flip for the better. You know what I'm saying? Or for the worst, I guess, is the what I'm trying to say here.
I feel you on that. Guarantees. Do you have any guarantees this week?
Yes, I actually got two.
Okay, let's get it.
I actually got two. My first one, which is, I think, kind of softball. I think LA Knight loses the U.S. title. I think he lays low. I think he debuts on January 6th on Raw, on Netflix, because Raw is Netflix starting 2025. And I think that's him coming out, yeah, and getting Raw the jumpstart it needs because he's no longer going to be on SmackDown. I don't care about the draft. The draft don't exist no more. The draft don't love nobody. So I think that's what's going to happen for LA Knight. If it's still a three-hour show, I got him debuting in like the second hour. and that's going to be his story. My other guarantee, and this is the one I thought about the most. My other guarantee is a story development guarantee. I believe Bayley took out Jade Cargill on accident. I think that we're going to show surveillance footage, right? Because the interesting story that's being built here involves Bianca, Jade, Naomi, and Bayley. Naomi is the girl saying, "No, Bayley actually cool. That's my girl. I'm Team Bayley all day." And the other two are like, who happen to be the tag team champions, are like, "I don't know, that's your girl, you deal with her." I kind of feel like there's going to be some surveillance footage or some extra bonus footage that exists that shows Jade trying to press Bayley. They get into a little scuffle and she just accidentally gets knocked off the building onto a car. And it was like, "Oh shit, I didn't try to do that. Like, I wasn't trying to do that. I was just trying to get the girl off of me. She was beating my ass." And so it causes a rift between the tag team champions. And it's Naomi on the sideline like, "Yo, why'd you even do that? Like I said, she was cool." Because what has to happen, if I'm sticking to my script, we need to fast track Jade ASAPtual. On this roster right now, who better to really get her in ring shape than Bayley and or Naomi for what Jade can do? So now that's off the storyline, but I do see a program in which Bayley versus Jade, Jade versus Naomi. But it all stems from an accident that left her out of commission and unable to compete in war games. And hey, look, even given this, why does Bayley, out of all people, come out to help Bianca Belair? Oh, because I feel bad about what happened to your home.
So I disagree with you on your guarantee.
Okay.
Only because it aligns, though, with my guarantee. I think we're going to find out that Bayley and Naomi took out Jade Cargill.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I think we're going to find that out. And it's going to lead to a tag team match between the two. And that's how you're going to get the belt on them. In fact, I think that Naomi, if I got the brackets right, because I don't have it in front of me. But Naomi should wrestle somebody on the other side for the, bless you, for the United States Championship match. Since a lot of people are saying that, I think that's what we're going to find out, because Jade is going to cost Naomi the United States Championship against Chelsea Gray. I think that's how we're going to find out. That's how we're going to start to find that out. And you're going to find out that Naomi with Bayley took out Jade. And the plan was, in a way, to take out Bianca, but that didn't happen. But it's going to be Bianca and Jade versus Naomi and Bayley for the Women's Championship, which put the women's championship in a prime position.
Yes.
With those four fighting over it. It makes the women's division stronger. Because she showed was Bailey my girl, Bailey my girl, Bailey my girl.
Yep. Yep.
I think that's what we got right there. But man, that's it for me, man. That's it for me. That's all I got. You got anything else?
Oh, no, no. Nothing other than, hey, man, keep watching wrestling. I know it's the holiday season is over. Thanksgiving, it kind of came and went. But, hey, I would encourage everybody, no matter how you felt about Survivor Series or the War Games matches last night, to watch Survivor Series and or War Games matches from yesteryear. And then you might figure out some of my disdain for last night as far as the matches go. I used to love the Survivor Series showdowns and you know, it being a Thanksgiving Eve tradition and all of that. And obviously we grown, we got lives or whatever, but you know, keep the wrestling fever and nostalgia going. Keep watching War Games matches, keep watching Survivor Series, the OG pay-per-views, everything before 94, if I'm being specific.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, hey, enjoy your life, man. 31 days left. There's only 31 left. So do your best.
Yeah, so close us out, Kemp.
All right, man. Hey, we appreciate y'all checking out the first Black Champ podcast. Hey, this show, like every other show, man, we just appreciate you all, the FBC community. Your likes, comments, shares, questions, your threads. We find out new information, whether it's real or fake or just funny. It's just funny to say. Conversation, yeah. That's great to have. I'm here for it all. And obviously, Bang and I can do the show without all of you, but your contributions to our community make it that much more special. So we sincerely appreciate and thank you for doing so. And always remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast. Pick VP DOC. We are out. And
I got it. Hold on. Oh, no, 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 no. Brando, don't go nowhere. I remembered it. Before we get you out of here, Kemp, before you even say that, Brando, totally forgot. The top 30 wrestlers under 30. From ESPN, you thought you was going to get out of here that quick. Yeah, so ESPN, with my little homie and friend of the program, Brando Caldwell, Andreas Hale, Mike Coppinger, David Dennis Jr., and a couple of others, they did a list of the 30 wrestlers under 30, y'all. Dominic Mysterio is number one, followed by MJF at number two, Tony Storm at number three, Rhea Ripley number four, and Mariah May number five. Your thoughts?
Hey, you know what? I'm honestly not mad at Dominic being number one. I'm not. Because he does have to win something here. You know what I mean? Like, just in the world of wrestling, the life of wrestling, he needs to win something. You know, hey, listen, I'll be clear. I'm not too savvy on Mariah Ray.
Mariah May fine, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, when I seen her, I was like, okay, I mean, hey, she can be on any list.
I didn't realize Tony Storm was under 30.
I was going to say that. I am not sure I want to live in the world where Jack Perry is that high over Bron Breakker. Guys, I'm just going to throw it out there to y'all. I mean, respect. I appreciate y'all taking the time and the thought for that. But yeah, Jack Perry and a list over Bron Breakker for me, nah, it just don't do it. Hey man, considering the year we had, hey, for Austin Theory to still make the list, that was I guess that's cool. But again, man, hey, look, Tiffany Stratton, and again, I know I lean heavy WWE. I know this, but man, that felt a little low. And what I would like to know also, and maybe they can answer if we got some time here, why did y'all end up dropping Logan Paul so low? I think I know the answer. I think I do, but I would like to hear from y'all as a collective effort. Like, I know what the blurb said, and I'm going to respect the blurb or the excerpt, if you will. But like, why did Logan Paul drop so far down? Because I think he's like in the 20s on this one.
If Brando ain't at the Worldwide Leader next week, we'll have him. I'll see if he could join, and we go from there. But there's no world where Rhea Ripley ain't number one. Until she is 30.
Hey, again, another thing that I was just like, I mean, I guess I let it cook. She was injured a couple times, I guess. But yeah,
you know, I don't give a damn. Ain't no world. I did not realize, like I said, that Toni Storm wasn't 30 yet. But somebody who I think should be farther on the list is Roxanne Perez. I think Roxanne Perez is at 20, is way too low. I think she's held down NXT on the women's side for the last year and a half. But yeah, there's no world that she's not top 10 to me. So Brando, y'all need to fix that shit, because she needs to be.
Hey, yo, and not for nothing, the boy Wheeler Yuta should be higher.
Nah, I'm not a Wheeler Yuta fan.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, for me, I'll just say for me, Wheeler Yuta is the most useless wrestler in a faction since Lodi.
Damn. The Fly. Yikes. Yikes.
I'm not a Wheeler Yuta fan. Yeah. At all, G.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When I say higher, I don't mean like 15 or more.
I mean, he shouldn't even be on this goddamn list. You know who I love on this list? Yeah. That hopefully in this next year or two, he gets a lot more pub, because I've seen him in person a couple of times now. Gabe Kidd from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Okay. Like, he's probably going to be the next leader of the Bullet Club, and he goes. But outside of that, like, yeah, the list is solid, but for the exception of, like, Wheeler Yuta is just useless to me, Jack. Like, how you hate Johnny Wrestling is how I hate Wheeler Yuta. He's useless.
I'll honor it.
Like, this whole thing with him joining the group and him, like, crying and, I don't know how to do it. Like, nah, like, they got Wheeler Yuta being a bitch. Like, he's Big Show bitch level, but just small blur.
Yeah. Hey, you know, hey, man, and sometimes I just give you credit for making me believe that that's who you are.
Yeah.
you are who show me.
Hey, that man, fuck Johnny Wrestler.
Yeah. Hey, facts. Hey, look, hey, you know what? Just for you, my man. Fuck Wheeler Yuta, and fuck Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah, they're trying to make him heal. They trying. Fuck him still.